How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. WrestleMania season, AEW Revolution. A lot of things happening in the world of professional wrestling. We're going to break it down today, including a major title change on SmackDown that a lot of people were upset about. And I want to spend some time on this today on the show. A lot of people were up in arms on social media. I don't know if that represents the reality of what's happening. Dave did a great job last night with Garrett, and they were discussing how WWE very much is listening to the voices on social media. But is it the right voice that they're listening to? Are the people that they're listening to the people they should be? We'll talk about it. Collision was last night. Really good Collision. Very much enjoyed this. We got to see a throwback to NXT with Tommaso Ciampa. We'll break that down also. NXT Vengeance Day also happened. You know, in my opinion, it's only my opinion, I thought this was just a show to be a show. A lot of that in NXT right now. We have some news also. Bad news regarding Conan and his health. We got a preview to AEW Revolution as well. WrestleMania news. AEW news. Some news about the Paramount deal. And something that I did not get a chance to talk about last week because I was not here. I had a substitute. Josh covered for me. I need to talk about Danhausen. We got to go into this. We got to talk about this. All this and a lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Happy Sunday, everybody. Excited to be back with you guys. I like doing this on a Sunday. It's nice and chill. You know, Brian does the Monday through Friday thing, and it's total insanity. I get the nice and chill show. I don't know what you would call Saturdays, but this is the nice and chill show. This is a Sunday show. A lot of stuff happening in wrestling, you know. I don't know how much I'm loving a lot of the stuff. I guess we should talk about SmackDown here, because this was the big story. After Elimination Chamber, Randy Orton obviously won. That was last week. And the assumption amongst many was that, and it still could end up being this, will be a multi-person match. Be a multi-man match at WrestleMania for night one. They announced right after that Elimination Chamber that Cody would be facing Drew McIntyre for the Undisputed WWE Championship. I imagined this would have been some sort of crazy, wacky match. And you tell me if I'm wrong here, MG. I assumed it was going to be some crazy, wacky match. Cody would lose due to something. Jacob Fatu would come in and interrupt. Then Randy would come in and interrupt. And it would maybe turn into a four-way. That is not it. Cody Rhodes, for the third time, is the Undisputed WWE Champion, defeating Drew McIntyre. Jacob Fatu did get involved. He would prevent Drew from using the chair, which led to the finish. But this, people are very upset over this. Have you seen that on your timeline?
I haven't. I've been trying, well, I've been a little off. I haven't been as active lately, so I've been trying to avoid it,
There's a lot of Hogan comparison. Insane. I've seen a lot of Hogan comparisons.
Not even close, really.
I don't know, man. I'm like, is this an overreaction? I don't know because we haven't been told what the end result here is. So I'm holding my opinion on this, but people were very upset. They do not want this to be the night one match, and a lot of people. What would be better? I don't know. See, I'm dropping my pencil now. I'm getting so excited. I'm throwing my pencil all over the place. Good thing I have a backup. Nobody on the radio could see that. I just chucked my pencil away. What would be a better night one? Is it going to be, I mean, did they want Drew McIntyre, Jacob Fatu? Did they want Drew and Cody at WrestleMania?
I have a curveball that Randy I think and, might be in yeah. play.
Give me.
Sami Zayn.
Sami's another one in
keep
play.
Doing
yeah,
these
but
segments. Yeah,
I don't think, keep, I don't know where he's going to go. They're not going to make it into a five-way.
At this point, I don't know.
As of right now, it looks like it's Cody and Randy, and it's Drew and Jacob.
Yes. But is Drew Jacob a standalone match, or is there some another step? There's so many ways they could go here.
It's so many ways they could go here. But it is interesting that they are solidifying this very late. They have not given you a path here as far as long term goes. But listen, it could end up being a great match. It could be a great main event, and then we'll watch it and we'll say, "Wow, this was fantastic." Or it could,
as far as star power, those are the two. I mean,
those are the
just
two.
The
yeah.
way they did it.
Yeah,
you know,
those are the
and,
two.
And,
but night two, I mean, night two is the main event. Randy, I mean, CM Punk and Roman is the main event of that show. Well, no matter what you put, it would end up being secondary because it's not a Roman Reigns match. And it's not CM Punk with Roman. Cody and Randy, I guess that would be the second biggest match that they could do as far as, you know, big WrestleMania, big guys, you know? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. It'll be fine, I guess, you know? I think they didn't really have an option here. What else would the option have been? Cody was always going to be in that main event. Keep the title on Cody and have him go against Randy? I don't know. But that's where we're at right now.
I feel like there's going to be more people involved in there. Because they did that segment with Sammy on SmackDown where he yelled at Cody and Cody yelled back and put him in his place. And then
yeah.
Randy came and gave him some advice later and said, "You do you. You do what's best for you," or something. I forget what he said. I'm paraphrasing. But yeah. Which, and then Sammy kind of, so I don't know how he fits in, but he does fit in somehow, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I'm very curious to see where they go. Very, very curious. We also got Danhausen on SmackDown, and I did not get a chance to talk about Danhausen at all with you guys. I saw the uproar regarding his debut.
And you loved it.
I'm telling you, I'm going to give myself a pat on the back. I'm generally like on the mark with this stuff. Okay. I generally understand what's good and what's bad. I enjoyed this. Is that my Danhausen bias coming into play? Very possible. I very, very much enjoyed Danhausen. Now, I thought his segment on Raw and his segment on SmackDown were so much better. I thought they were great. I like him in The Miz doing their thing. I liked him cursing Dominic. Did you not like it?
It was kind of indifferent to me. I knew.
Is it too silly for you?
Yeah, it's not because it's wrestling, right? There's a place for it, in my opinion. But he's never gonna be. He should never wrestle, right?
I'm telling you, you put him in some tag matches. You know, he could have some matches. He could wrestle like a somebody, and he could do his curse, and it could be like a gimmick. You know, it's a gimmick. It's a funny match.
That's what it's going to be, yeah.
And that's fine, and let it be that. And my only problem was, the criticism was, this guy's going to put on a 5-star match. No, he's never going to do that, and that's not his intent. That's not the point. That's not his intention. That's not the plan of WWE. WWE recognized that this guy, I mean, obviously CM Punk most likely helped get this done because they're good friends.
Yeah, there was a report that was it, yeah.
You have a very unique opportunity to have a cartoon character that you will market to children. My kids absolutely love Danhausen. They absolutely love, they like this weird macabre character. It's funny. I enjoy it. Not everything is a 5-star match, guys. Not everything needs to be even wrestling. He should just be, you know, a character on TV. just going around cursing people. I'm really dying for the Aleister Black segment with him.
I don't know if you're going to
get the curse on the pole match. The curse is on the pole.
Oh, no.
You got to go retrieve the curse and then zap the other one.
Yeah.
No, that's too much?
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what you're talking
about. Way too much.
The other thing I'll know from SmackDown was the Rhea Ripley and Jade segment. I did not like this. It felt off.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing this work shooty thing, and I get that, but I don't know why. I was so excited about this face-off, and I don't know what happened there.
I don't know either. Jade Cargill, to me, her chemistry with other people is off, and apparently there was a beef online with them this week.
I don't know.
I didn't pay attention to.
Yeah, I paid a little bit of attention to it. But, you know, if there's ever a comparison to how she was presented in AEW versus how she was presented here, I think AEW's winning so far.
Yeah, we will see. I don't know what the answer is for that match, but we'll see.
I mean, Rhea's the answer, but...
Right.
You got to get there. You got to put on a good match. You can't have a dud happen. So I'm a little concerned about this. But the visuals alone at WrestleMania should work. When we come back, we're going to go into more professional wrestling. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Guys, do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. I got a cool gift yesterday by my wife's cousin. Did I show you this, MG? I may have shared it in the boys chat, the dirty boys chat that can never get leaked.
Yes, you did.
This is so pretty cool to me. And I don't know if anybody else is going to be interested here. My wife's cousin is the creator of Celebrity Deathmatch, Eric Fogel. And Eric was, you know, if you're old enough to know Celebrity Deathmatch and MTV's animation and all that, he was like the king of this stuff. And he had this wacky show called The Head. Do you remember that show? It was about a guy
vaguely that
had an alien being living in his head, and his head got gigantic. He had like a cone head, and it was on MTV for like a season or two. But at the time, nobody was putting stuff like this on TV. He gave me the cells yesterday. Isn't this awesome?
Pretty cool.
And I got this. You don't even care, but I do. I don't care. And then he gave me like the first drawing, like the first animation drawing that he did. I thought this was so freaking cool, but we had a great dinner last night. We went to a Persian place, and it was very lively, I'll tell you that, over there. Very lively. But I wanted to give him a little shout-out. Brilliant, brilliant animator, brilliant puppeteer, I guess.
Oh, the MTV days.
A claymationist.
The good MTV days.
Yeah, he's working on a project he was showing me. I can't leak that. That I cannot leak. I want to talk about CM Punk for a second because, again, I didn't have a chance to talk about it, and it happened on Monday, and I was so impressed by this. Dude, that Roman and Punk, whatever they're doing, right, whatever this is, how good are they together? Now, that match, I hope it lives up to the expectation, which it probably will, but the promos, the build to this has been exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel that way?
No, I do. I was just waiting for you to say something. But yeah, the chemistry. There's so much history they're pulling from that if you've been following wrestling for that amount of time, you're gonna go, "Oh, he just went there." There was a lot of like callbacks to essentially 2014, right? When Punk left.
Well, the whole thing is that story, right? It essentially, they brought up everything. Yeah. They brought up the Shield. They brought up, you know, the dead
Cole
father
podcast
line
came up.
Yep, yeah. They brought the podcast. Mm. I just feel like the chemistry between these two, and there is, you know, it's very difficult to make something feel real in wrestling today. Really difficult to the fans, because the fans are a lot smarter, and they see through it. This felt a lot more real than you normally get from a promo. A wrestling promo in 2026. You know, I honestly, and this is, again, a criticism, and you see it on both sides, more on one than the other. These promos are soulless.
Yeah.
These people are dead behind the eyes when they're saying these things because it's not in their words.
You know what? Go back to our last segment, and when we talked about Jade and Rhea, that was soul. That was like a definition of soulless compared
that
to
that was
this.
Soulless. It was they were both uncomfortable because I'm willing to bet that those are not their words. They don't speak that way. But when it came to Punk and when it came to Roman, though, that was a – I felt that promo. I felt everything that they were saying. Maybe there is an element of truth behind what they're saying. Maybe they do have this animosity towards each other. There has, you know, in a weird way, there has to be, even if there isn't on the surface. Roman was the guy that carried it, right? Punk leaves. Roman gets elevated around that time. And guess what? They hated him, the audience. They gave him the John Cena treatment when he was never supposed to get it. He goes away. He reinvents himself. He comes back after the pandemic or right during it. And the guy is, I mean, that previous Roman is non-existent. And you got one of the greatest characters ever developed on television for a long run. How many years? I mean, still to this day, you're talking six years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're talking 6 years of this guy being the man. He was a man before that, but I'm saying in the eyes of professional wrestling. And I mean, that is a generational run. That bloodline storyline was generational. You don't get those. Now, am I going to say, you know, if I were to compare it to anything else, I mean, it's like the Bullet Club run, right? It brought people back. It brought people in. And in WWE, they don't really get these too often. So that's been a positive there. But the story, I'm very much enjoying. And I think the match will be great for night two. Now, what do they do there? I don't know.
So I think the hope, I'm just spitballing here, but I think the hope for that match is they can get a face-off when that match starts that rivals what The Rock and Hogan were able to do at WrestleMania. They can get that kind of like
this thing where they look intensity. Side to side.
Yeah, that intensity. I don't know if they can ever do that again, but I think that would be the hope. Is oh man, this is going to be great. So
they could possibly do it. We'll see the ending. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be a clean match. Somebody's doing something, and somebody, you know, do you do a turn? Does Heyman, you know, something with Heyman?
Did
something
the Heyman
with,
thing
I don't know.
Last year? How do you fit him?
Heyman's
in?
Heyman's everywhere. Right? Heyman's involved in everything.
Yeah, maybe too much.
Heyman's
I don't know.
Involved in everything. Yeah, we'll see. But I wanted to touch on that. I thought it was very well done. Jelly Roll will be appearing at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 42 contract signing is set for SmackDown. Okay. Jelly Roll's back. They love some Jelly Roll. People, they love him.
Obviously, he's gonna be in some sort of match. He's gonna be there. I don't know. He's everywhere. It's so weird.
He's everywhere, dude. He's everywhere now. The best, he has the best agent, the best manager. He's transcendent into something. Wild. NXT Vengeance Day was last night. It was there. I did not love this. I barely liked it. I'm going to be honest.
Can I give you my recap?
Yeah, give me your recap. I want the MG recap. And MG stands for Miguel Garcia, right? That's your actual name, Miguel Garcia.
Sure, 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 yeah. Sure.
All right, Miguel, give me your rundown.
that was 2.5 hours of my life I won't get back. that's kind of my recap of the whole thing.
It's unfortunate. It really is. The talent is talented. It is a wacky TV show.
So I know you don't watch NXT on a regular basis.
I'm going to tell you, I have been getting a lot more of it. I've been consuming a lot more because if I'm going to talk about it, I better watch it. I don't like half-ass watching these things. I could say that on the radio.
It's been background noise. Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you.
It's been background noise for me the last several weeks. And the one thing I've noticed is the star power from the men's side is non-existent. There's no real – they have Ethan Page on there, and they have Ricky Saints.
Ricky. They have Joe Hendry.
You know, yeah. But Joe Hendry, I don't like his wrestling. It's just so basic. So for me, this – it just – you know, the main event was blah. He retained, in case anyone wants to know. I mean, the best match for me was the Lola Vice Kalani Jordan underground match, which was
that was great. Yeah, I like that match. I like the Lola Vice match. You hit something on the head, right? NXT as a whole, okay, as a whole, has done a much better job developing female talent.
Yes.
The women that have come out of NXT have done incredible. Okay, incredible. Regardless if they had never wrestled anywhere else or they were independent darlings, it doesn't matter. They have done such a phenomenal job with the women. There's been an emphasis on this. But if you look at the men's roster, and I have said this for years, who has been, you know, a developmental project? I'm not talking about someone like a Sami Zayn or a Kevin Owens or a Finn Balor that were, you know, instrumental to the independent wrestling. I'm not talking about a Nakamura that was instrumental to New Japan. Who has come through the NXT system and become the guy? Don't count Roman. That's Florida. He was not an NXT developmental guy. Don't talk about Seth Rollins. I mean, I'm going full blown developmental. Really, they have not done a tremendous job with this.
Braun Breaker is the answer.
If it does happen, then that's the answer. I'm hoping Trick Williams, Braun Breaker, Oba Femi, these three are actually the future of this company, and they do great. Then you could say, you know what? This was like the class. This was the time. That era of NXT developed, you know, the stars in 5 years of who's going to be the top guy. But you look at this card, and It is not painting that picture for any of these people, including Ricky Saints, Joe Hendry has a gimmick and that's what he does. And that's great. Where's Tony D'Angelo? Is he going to be a WWE champion?
He actually his match was actually good.
It was good. Yeah. I'm bringing it up. Is he a guy that you look at and say, wait, man, he will be the world champion in that company? Is Ricky Saints that guy?
I think he should be, but yeah.
I think part of it is also that they raided NXT and they brought a lot of people up that may be in that potential.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting story to look at here on what is going to happen with NXT. Because if this is the card that they're going to put on, shows like this, I don't know, man. If they're just a developmental product then. They gotta do something else. Wrestling Observer Live here in Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Like I told you in the previous segment, hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. You can catch everything I'm doing there, including Mat Men, including Beyond the Bell, including Scoops, including memes, including me arguing with a bot. I know how hard it is for Dave. Sometimes you just got to argue with the bots. Therapy. Tony Khan mentioned that he's thrilled about the Paramount WBD merger news. They've addressed this, saying that AEW's president's reaction to the news this week, he was talking about in the latest edition of The Observer. He noted that while Khan was said to be thrilled with the news, others believe that Paramount could, due to pressure from TKO, given its contract with UFC and Zuffa Boxing, move to get rid of WWE's only significant wrestling competition. Paramount Skydance CEO David Ellison has said the plan is for HBO and Paramount to merge. I don't know. Because you're talking about streaming. But listen, they bought linear for a reason, Paramount. And they really don't have too many properties on linear that are able to get you 600,000 plus viewers per week for 52 weeks a year. You got to think about the value in that. First run, sports-centric programming, 52 weeks a year, 4 hours a week. That's not something you easily could get. So So we'll see what happens here. I don't have an opinion on this. I just know people at WBD, you know, whenever mergers happen, they're all afraid that they're going to be let go. And most likely a lot of people will be let go. A lot of redundant positions again. For the third time in the last 3 years or 4 years for this company. The state of TV. When you're giving out gigantic, gigantic TV rights fees and you are not able to generate the ad revenue at the rate that you need to, this is what happens. When you have major, major box office draws that are not drawing the way they used to, this is what happens. It's the state of television and media. It is all upside down. You are now competing with TikTok and YouTube and Instagram Reels and Twitter and X videos. You're not Twitch. Just competing with what's on TV. Twitch. It is a very, very different landscape. And it's getting harder and harder to determine what's going to happen in the future here. AEW Collision last night. Really enjoyed this. Dynamite last night. Really enjoyed it. Dude, the pacing on Dynamite was incredible.
You mean on Wednesday?
Yeah, on Dynamite. Yeah, on Wednesday.
You said
what
last
do you think
night.
I said?
Sorry.
No, you said I said on night. Wednesday. On okay, well, no, Collision was last night. Yes.
Right.
Collision
right.
was last night. Collision. What did you think of the show?
Oh, so I was trying to watch. Obviously, I was trying to watch NXT, and I already gave my thoughts on that. But I was watching this, too, and trying to follow UFC to an extent. But I really like this. I mean, obviously, the big news, the big thing I found out it was the Tommaso Ciampa turning on Mark Briscoe in the same way that he turned on Johnny Gargano all those years ago. I popped for that big time.
Yeah. I thought it was a good show. I really enjoyed this. You had a very good main event. Takeshita defeated Claudio. Don Cal's family and the Death Riders brawled after the match. They're really telling the story about who's the babyface here and who's the heel.
I think the Death Riders come off more as the babyface.
They're more of the babyface,
John
right?
Moxley on, putting John Moxley on commentary for those key moments. His reaction when they announced Tony Storm versus Marina Shafir for the pay-per-view was like, oh, like he was just being a fan. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
He does come off in that role as more of a sympathetic character to a degree, but then he gets mean and, you know, he shows that dark side. So I kind of like it. Having this like imbalance of is he a good person or not? And that whole dynamic, I'm intrigued by it because I don't know which
Me
way
too.
It's going to go.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Tony Storm, like you said, did challenge Marina. I do like, you know, Marina's been fantastic in this role as this muscle. Challenged her to a match of Revolution where no one is at ringside. You got the dogs. Dogs. See, the queens in me comes out.
And now the dogs.
That's one of those words, by the way. How do you say it? You say that word. Say the word.
Dogs.
Dog.
Dogs.
Dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The dogs. Dave Finley recently debuted on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Gabe Kidd and Clark Connors with the most beautiful hair I've ever seen on a man. Wrestling. I am starting my own Wrestling Observer Awards. Okay. I'm starting my own. And one of the top categories is most beautiful hair, men and women. Clark Connors would get my vote right now. Stunning locks, 10 out of 10. They defeated the three guys. I do like that the dogs are here. I do like that Gabe Kidd is here. I think these three are going to be very instrumental. And I don't know, you know, right now, if you're going to have one breakout guy in the next, you know, 24 months in this company, I would say it would probably be Gabe Kidd. But, you know, when you had guys like The Shield, I'm just doing a comparison. I'm not comparing them actually, but I'm just doing a comparison. I remember the conversation around who will be the guy. And do you remember what everybody said? The story was Rollins is the most talented, but he's the worst talker. Dean is the best talker and brawler, but he doesn't have the look. Roman was the puppet then that was put in there. Do you remember that was the argument for those three guys? And each of them turned into being, you know, again, generational talent.
Yes, indeed.
Could we see that with these three guys? Maybe. Let's see. I very much like all three of them. Briscoe calls out Ciampa. He calls Ciampa a coward for jumping him and aligning himself with FTR. This was interesting.
So now we're getting a trios match.
Now we're getting a trios match.
Dynamite, I believe.
FTR and Ciampa against the Bucks and Briscoe. Okay. Megan Bain.
I really like what they've done with Briscoe lately. I enjoy him popping up in different places, you know, and becoming this kind of like rogue character that can,
well, he's beloved.
Can kind of fit in places. Yeah. And
yeah, he's beloved.
He's always going to get over. He should never turn heel.
I actually did this backwards. I'm sorry when I was reading my notes like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
I should have started off with the FTR and the Rascals match. Because this is how everything led down. They defeated the Rascals, obviously. Anthony Bowen tells Hook that if he could be a killer and still wants to join the ops. Hook tells him to grab the camera. Hook chokes out some dude. Daniel Garcia, Tommaso Ciampa. This was it. Daniel Garcia defeated Tommaso Ciampa. FTR would come to confront Ciampa. Briscoe would get in between them. Ciampa and Briscoe walk off together, but Ciampa attacked him on the ramp. Like you said, Johnny Gargano style, a takeover, you know, maybe that's his thing. He's just always in behind you. Swerve defeated Gravity. $200,000 four-way tag team match, Private Party defeated LFI, The Swirl, and The Outrunners. You also had Jet Speed. They spoke backstage, and they were confronted by Swerve, who tells Knight that he needs to be a killer. Second time we've seen this, huh?
Yeah, that's interesting. Are they breaking up that Jet Speed tag team?
I don't know.
Swerve.
Kevin Knight recently signed again. I think he did. He re-signed. Yeah. And they're very high on Kevin Knight in that company.
Maybe that's where they go. They align him with Swerve down the road. I don't know, but that sounds interesting to me. Because Kevin Knight could be a star.
Yeah. Yeah, he has something. He has something. I don't know what that thing is, but he has something there. They showed footage of Megan Bain and Lana Cross attacking Willow and Harley Cameron. Megan Bain and Lana Cross defeated Tony and Mina. And that was a card. It was a good show.
Yeah,
you know,
so,
UFC was happening last night, too. And that was the big story was UFC as far as my timeline went.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Dynamite lineup. TBS champion Willow defends against Persephone. No. Persephone. Yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. I lost my screen, so I couldn't remember. Them Bucks. Mark Dem Briscoe, Bucks. Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson versus FTR and Tommaso Ciampa. TNT champion Kyle Fletcher defends against Speedball Mike Bailey. Hangman Page, MJF press conference. Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy versus Gabe Kidd and Dave Finlay. Here's the current card for AEW Revolution. Yes.
I'm sorry. Before you go on.
No, no, no.
Let's mention this first. Mercedes Moné lost the CML Women's title Friday night.
Yes, she did.
In Mexico.
Yeah, to Persephone. They went about 19 minutes.
I wonder if we're going to see her back on AEW at Revolution or after that. It seems like that's what they might do.
Well, she should be on TV because she should be there. They're paying her a lot of money to be there, and they got to do something. Here's a card for AEW Revolution happening next week. On Zero Hour, Ricochet defends his national title in a 21-man Blackjack Battle Royal. Marina versus Tony. Everyone is banned from ringside. Big Boom AJ against Turnbuckle Al, TBA, to be determined, to be announced. Who will that be? I don't know. AEW Trio Champion Okada, Kyle Fletcher, and Mark Davis defend against Kevin Knight, Mike Bailey, and Mystico. I guess Mystico's taking the place of Hangman here.
Hangman, yeah. Yeah, he dated a promo on Dynamite, after Dynamite, I believe.
AEW Women's Champion Thekla defends against Chris Statlander in a 2 out of 3 pinfall match. Brody King versus Swerve Strickland. Bandito against Andrade. I want to see that match. I'm very. All these matches look great, but that one tickles me because I love Andrade right now. AEW Continental Champion John Moxley defends against Takeshita in a no time limit match. Curious to see who takes
this.
That's
going to be fantastic.
They're going to beat the crap out of each other. How could it not be? AEW World Tag Team Champion FTR defends against the Young Bucks. I think the Bucks should take it. Just reset, dude. Just hit the reset on everything. AEW World Champion MJF defends against Hangman Page in a Texas death match. If Page loses, he can't challenge for the world title ever again. Oh, boy. We boxed ourselves into this one again.
God, I hope they do the right thing here.
I don't know. I don't know how they... I mean, they have so many ways to get out of that, you know? They don't actually have to stick to this. Or he beats him. He beats MJF. And Hangman is the champion. And then Hangman drops it to someone else. And that someone else drops it to someone else. I mean, you're going to have to get to All In. Right? And you're going to have to maybe most likely get to Ospreay. How do you get to Ospreay? And who's that person? I don't know. A lot of people are assuming it's Kenny, right? That's the match. It's Kenny and Ospreay.
It's a long time before we get there, so.
We got a couple months to get there. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up with a few more notes. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, final few minutes of the show here on Sports Byline. Bad news here. It was reported that Conan... He was hospitalized, and for a leg amputation following medical complications. This man has had a series of terrible, terrible health issues for years. On Friday, it was reported that Conan was hospitalized in San Diego and had one of his legs amputated following a medical complication. I don't know what that is. This is just what was here. There was another independent report that both legs were amputated. Now, there's no official statement here. But, my God, my thoughts are with him, his family.
He was always one of my favorites. So I hope everything works out.
But, you know, it just shows you that this professional wrestling. I mean, now, it's so much. They're so much well-equipped to take care of their talent. These guys were just treated as carnival workers, really. And he's not the only one. There's so many more stories out there. You see these and you hear about this and it's terrible, but my thoughts are with him and terrible. Just, you never want to hear something like that, that something like that is happening. And, professional wrestling, my friends. And we've heard a lot of this. This happens a lot. Hopefully he'll recover, and I mean he'll go to do rehab, and he'll have a decent life after this.
We still haven't had a real report on what happened. So.
We still have not gotten a real report. Yeah, still have not. So I'm sure Dave will address this throughout the week because you know he has a relationship with Conan for many, many years. Guys, we are wrapping up for this week, but next week we'll be back. A lot of news to talk about, obviously, to build to WrestleMania, AEW Revolution, what's going on there, and a whole lot more. We'll see you all next time on Wrestling Observer Live.